Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
On ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a windy. It's not breezy. It is gusty. Man, the storm that came through last night, I mean, it blew through and the wind has stayed throughout the day. So that is something. You see it not, I mean, there's just a nice breeze when you look over at Augusta at the second round of the Masters. It should be there tomorrow, I would think. It's much more breezy than it was this morning.
Yeah,
there, and that could be a factor. But there's some really good numbers being put up there. Hope everybody doing well on this Friday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, and Don here in the studio.
Great to see you guys again. Coach, it's been a while.
Yeah, about 10 days.
I was doing some traveling up.
Traveling.
How much Fargo, North Dakota, and or Normal, Illinois work have you not been to? Neither of those schools play D1 football.
No.
North Dakota State, I believe, plays in the FCS,
right.
in the Fargo Dome.
Right.
That's in the Summit League teams all have those indoor stadiums, upstate. Don't think the Redbirds, maybe they're an FCS team in football. I told you guys when I called in last week, Doug Collins is like sort of the calling card for Illinois State historically. He's a leading scorer all time, and the court's named after him, and he was the first overall pick in the draft, and coach of the Bulls before Phil Jackson. But it was cool to see some college campuses. I haven't really explored before, and then spent a little time in downtown Buffalo too, which was a neat
for the second time, right?
Neat experience. Yeah, but the first time we were there, we stayed near campus, which is like the northeast corner of Buffalo, kind of the Amherst area. And this time we stayed downtown.
Okay.
And so Buffalo's got some cool architecture and some statues of a couple former presidents have some ties to Buffalo and. There's some architect.
Teddy does.
Teddy. Cleveland. Grover Cleveland was the mayor of Buffalo, and I believe McKinley grew up there as well. So there's a few guys with some ties to the area, and it was just a neat place to go do some exploring. Great to be home though, and especially 8-day weekend, right? This is. I mean,
there is a lot going on
Tiger
this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got baseball, softball, tennis, and football all going on this weekend.
And the rodeo.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there is plenty, and there are plenty of people in town. Lots of people in town looking for record crowds and a lot of things. Now, tomorrow, Don. I mean, we
Greystone draft, obviously. Huge. On near the top of a lot of lists there, as record crowd expected.
Well, as long as everybody shows up, then we'll be fine with that. Don, I mean, we talked about it. The A Day itself is going to be more of a practice than a structured type game.
Right.
But Dan and I were out there at practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Hugh Freeze said after that practice, which was a good 2 hours and had a lot of 11-on-11. I mean, it had a nice couple of periods of 11-on-11 that was live. Now, the quarterbacks couldn't be hit.
Right.
But everybody else was. And there were a couple of guys that were hit really pretty good. If they get that, I mean, I think fans will feel like they're getting to see something if they get more of what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I heard, I think Coach was speaking today or yesterday, we probably have it here, about what the format is for tomorrow. They're going to do some
individual.
Right. a little bit probably Skelly, probably some one-on-one pass rush. Then they're going to go like and do overtime period.
Yeah, that's going to be toward the end.
And then I think they're going to do like a from the 25 in and give so many points to the offense and defense.
Yeah, he said, now that's the first one to 18.
Right.
Is what he said. And it's going to be offense will score as offense scores.
Right.
But if the offense settles for a field goal, the defense gets 4 points.
Yes, yeah. So that'll be interesting.
Actually, the defense wins if they hold the offense to a field goal.
Right, right. Yeah, that'll
be
interesting.
4-3.
Yeah, and I think, you know, fans will be happy with that. And then I think it's a great idea to have the fan day immediately after in the spring.
And we'll see, you know, with the looming talk of roster limits, right? Like what the future of college football teams and spring games, you know, to you know, in future years. But like, I always thought one of the cool things about A-Day, Coach, was the guys that put in the work behind the scenes, the guys working in the dark that, generally speaking, don't get to play in front of a crowd at Jordan-Hare Stadium very often or at all.
Yeah.
And A-Day was sort of their, you know, the second half of the A-Day game was their chance to get out there and play full contact football in front of their families in Jordan-Hare with, you know, an Auburn helmet on. And, like, that was always really special. And I still think there's going to be some of that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, that's something that you might see less and less of as
time goes on.
As schools have to be more strategic about who's on the roster.
Right.
And how many guys get a slice of the revenue sharing pie.
Exactly. Like,
these things are going to, they're going to matter. And that's, you know, that's something that wasn't really a consideration. I mean, you think about it now, and it's like in black and white, right? Like it's not really the same era of college football, but like, no, that was always a really cool thing. And I'm sure for you, like you had defensive linemen who were not on scholarship,
right?
And were probably never going to get in the game, but they worked hard every time they, you know, every time they laced up the cleats, and they really. You know, they really relished the chance to get out.
Yeah, they
and play
they loved Auburn. They contributed. They helped us so much. And yeah, it was fun. You know, we would play our ones, twos, and then like you said, after halftime, those guys were pretty much done. So we got to play all the walk-ons and the guys that probably weren't going to get to play, and that was fun. They enjoyed it. You know, they'd get out there and get after it too. They took it serious.
Yeah, it'll be interesting just to see the crowd. I just wonder, you know, what we'll see tomorrow. Like I said, a lot of folks are in town. I think quite a few folks will come on in. It's free admission.
Right.
And what it should do, it should really, though, this should really be beneficial for the other events, for the baseball, softball,
right.
tennis, with folks in town. Tennis,
right.
Of course, is today and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball and softball are each day.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to come to see the quarterbacks, even if they're not full go, full hit. I think there's a lot of excitement about those two guys.
Yeah, and sure. We mentioned yesterday that Jackson Arnold hobbled off the field. I mean, his last play, he pulled up, you know, reached back at the back of the calf, but then he walked off under his own power with Dr. Goodlick.
Right.
I think he's fine. He'll probably go through, you know, a lot of the drills.
We are not doctors, but it seemed like.
But I wouldn't expect to see him pulling it and running it much tomorrow.
No, right. And you've seen, like, not to give like a play-by-play of how they treated Jackson Arnold, but like you've seen with a serious-looking lower body injury. That generally speaking, they don't say, all right, let's get you up and jogging over to the sideline. Like, there's concern about, can you put weight on it? Do you, you know, are you in too much pain? I think while it was a scary thing to see a guy go down with a non-contact lower body injury, the fact that he popped back up and was able to, under his own power, get to the to the training room, I would understand. Like, it didn't seem. You didn't get the sense that you were seeing something that was going to take him out long term.
No, but I think you'll see plenty of deuce tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
plenty of deuce night. Tomorrow.
And a lot of people will like that. Yeah, he's special.
You know, the difference when people asked me, because it came up a little bit on the show, and a lot off the air, where it's like it was my first time ever seeing either of them in person. And, you know, I'm getting to see, you know, an hour and a half. And granted, it was, you know, they're playing darts, right? It's skeleton. Like, it's not, you don't have to improvise. You don't have a lot of the things that you have to worry about as a quarterback for real. The sense I got was, I mean, if you told me Deuce was a third-year transfer, physically I would believe it. Like, looks the part. Like, not mm-hmm. like a guy who seems very developed and not just in good shape, right? But like, a you know, a guy who's tall and you know, filled out for, I would believe, okay, this is a, and it's someone who runs and throws the ball well. It did seem like at times when they're throwing the, you know, when they're doing drills with four or five guys running routes, the ball would come out faster from Jackson Arnold. Like, you know, Deuce was taking, and I, you know,
the
I
ball
guess,
would come out quicker from Jackson.
Yeah.
But the velocity,
oh,
I would
yeah.
say, Deuce may have an edge in just pure velocity.
Sure. That wasn't an arm strength commentary. That was sort of a, like, the,
how quickly the ball would
yeah,
come out.
Yeah. I would get the sense that folks are going to be pleased with Jackson Arnold's ability to diagnose what's happening and get rid of the ball. And because Jackson Arnold comes from really high-level Texas high school football where you got four or five guys running routes and quarterbacks aren't supposed to take a lot of sacks. Like, you're supposed to know to do something else with the ball other than take a sack, whether that's scramble out of trouble or throw it away or make a play downfield.
Yeah, he has been well-trained. Oh, that sort of brings up something. We've got
and
some...
And it would also, I mean, before we, like, but it would also make sense with Deuce that it's his first couple of weeks of college football practice,
mm-hmm.
it's taking him more time to.
You would think he'd be, yeah, you
download.
He
what,
should be more of a raw product,
right? It's taking him a little more time to download what he's seeing and throw to the right receiver.
But they love the fact that he is how well he's picking everything up.
Sure.
Now, what I was going to say is, on Wednesday we had a chance to hear from some of the players,
mm-hmm.
and Jackson was one of the first guys that I was there with. Dan came in, and you got Deuce, right?
I chatted with Deuce.
Yeah, so I mean, I was there with Jackson, and Jackson was at, you know, he's been to the Manning Academy.
Mm-hmm.
This year he was invited to the Manning Academy and declined,
mm.
and that was a question that was asked because it was like, why would you turn that down? And he said, they're great. I've been there. It's a great time. He goes, but I feel like it's more important for me to be here with these guys and working this summer and not leaving as we continue to try to, you know, build the chemistry and the timing between the receivers that he's got here at Auburn and himself.
Yeah, that's big time because that is a prestigious that's a really big deal to get invited to that camp. But that just shows you the leadership, the want to, you know, maybe the team chemistry. To me, that's a good sign that he didn't want to go because it would be easy to go because that's a big, big deal.
Well, really, I mean, he made it seem like if he knew, you know, if he'd been around these players, if he and his teammates had been around each other for a year or so – he'd be there.
That's the crucial part. Like, I generally speaking, you don't see quarterbacks on new teams at the Manning Academy all that
right.
often because quarterbacks who have earned the invitation are guys who stick around and play somewhere else. Jackson Arnold, it's a different situation, and I think it's commendable. Had to be a difficult decision for Jackson, and it's commendable and probably the right move if you're going to start this fall
mm-hmm.
because you want as many reps as possible with the receivers that you are. I mean, you're going to play your first games with these guys this fall, and like we mentioned, it's not as though there's a huge runway for this Auburn football team as far as the
oh no, there are not a lot of gimmies.
No, I mean you need to hit the ground running.
You jump right into it. Yeah, the opening part of the season is. It is pretty darn difficult. That's what Auburn's got to try to navigate.
And as a Texas guy, you think Jackson Arnold's going to have some feeling about...
Oh, yeah, against Baylor.
Baylor, A&M, and Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
All on the schedule very early for Jackson Arnold, which are important games for different reasons.
All right, we need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Go ahead. You might. Are we going to take the call? You want to get to break? Okay, yeah, we have calls holding. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. We're just underway here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. EU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Day two of the Masters, and the projected cut right now is plus two. And Justin Rose, who shot that 7-under 65 yesterday, 1-under in the clubhouse today with a 71, and his 8-under gives him a one-stroke lead over Bryson DeChambeau. You've got Rory McIlroy and Corey Connors at 6-under. They're also done for the day. Connors is not, my bad. Connors CBS, is on 17.
CBS isn't too worried about what the ratings are going to look like on Masters Saturday and Sunday because you know, if the weather's good, they know, they have a pretty good idea how many people are going to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of Bryson and Rory and Scotty in the hunt in
contested. Scheffler today, let's see. Well, he's 5-under. He's just another shot back.
And nothing against Rose or Connors. But no. the thought of DeChambeau and Rory and Scotty, who are climbing the list of the best of their era. Mm-hmm. Rory hasn't won in a decade plus, but a lot of folks are rooting for him, especially with him being as close to the top of the leaderboard as he is in this tournament. So I think that the thought that you have a couple of the real crowd favorites, you know, and betting favorites, firmly in the hunt in this thing as we close out day two. I think absent Tiger Woods making a run, This is about as good as it could be for CBS and for folks who are thinking about watching Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So, we'll run down a little more of the leaderboard in a little while. But first, let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
Is that Freddie making the walk there? As they, I know they had Freddie Couples on the a lot of shots of him because of the. Because we never know if it's his last one or not, and he's probably not making the cut this year. But yeah, we're seeing a lot of different shots of folks as we you want to get to Brian?
Yeah, let's get to Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing today?
Hey, Dan, Bill, Coach, happy Friday to you.
Oh yeah, back at you.
how is so Freddie's not going to make the cut?
He's
He finished at 3-over and the projected cut's 2.
That's too bad. I like Freddie. He was one of my favorites.
That was Bernard Langer, by the way. They were focusing on.
Oh, actually, Freddie is at 3-over with 18 to play. I thought I just saw the scores.
Oh, okay.
So he's got a hole. He needs to birdie 18.
Yeah, he's got
to make the cut.
He's got a slim chances of continuing on tomorrow.
And Langer did finish at 3-over, so he's not going to make the cut.
Yeah, he's.
So I don't like to talk about other shows, but I figure since you, Berg is a friend of the program, and Dan, you're on his show, I was listening to y'all this morning. Great show, by the way, this morning, whenever you guys actually did it. Question for you. You guys were talking about just standouts that you guys wanted to see or were talking about for practice as far as football. I've also been hearing good things about Blake Woodby. Any thoughts on him?
Very much. Blake Woodby is pushing to be in the rotation. I mean, he has really been an amazing freshman. He covers and he is fearless. He looks like an SEC cover corner. And I tell you what, Donovan Starr isn't that far behind.
Yeah,
they have a great situation at both corner and safety. With New Boy Fagans, Eric Winters at the safeties, and then Blake Woodby and Donovan Starr at the corners. I mean, Auburn is just loaded, I think, with young talent there in the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, if you go by playing time last year and you think about, like, all right, well, who's plan A at different spots? Like, I would think Lee, Crawford, and if he's 100% in time for the start of the season, Champ Anthony would be your top two outside corners, mm-hmm. and your slot guy, And then at the safety spots, you've got Caleb Harris, who played a ton last year. You got Sylvester Smith, who played a ton last year. Like, there are different options depending on which way you want to go. But I would say at every single one of those spots, both outside corner spots, the slot corner, both nickels and both safety spots, you've got a young player who's not the guy I just named.
And you also have Rayon Strader, the transfer from
pressing.
Miami,
yeah.
that's having a really good spring, too. I mean, DJ Durkin's got a lot. I mean, Auburn's got a lot to work with there in the secondary, a lot.
Yeah, it makes you drool thinking about all those names, because I just remember all those names being 4- and 5-star kids.
Yeah, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, I mean, one of the things we said yesterday, this early on, I've seen more out of this freshman class early than I can recall in a long, long time. I mean, it really looks like they hit big on a lot of these kids.
Eric Winters would win the award, like the Caleb Harris Award, for, like, I'm surprised to learn he's a true freshman, watching him out there with
– He doesn't look like a freshman.
Yeah, and he's pretty active as far as making plays and doing some different things. They'll blitz him. They'll have him in coverage. They'll have him playing center field. Like, you know, you saw just in limited glimpses yesterday of the different stuff they're comfortable with Eric Winters doing, and then there's Newboy, who, like, I mean, everybody was willing to.
Oh, you're right. But I mean, the thing that I think everybody had just sort of perceived was Eric Winters is the bigger one. I mean, he's 200 plus, well over 200. And so the thought was he'd be more the strong safety and Fagans would be more the free safety, but it's the other way around. But they both can really, really run.
Hey, what, you know, it was a good segue. You mentioned his name, Champ Anthony. What is his status? Are we gonna have him back?
Yeah. So Champ got name dropped by Malik Blockton this week in the player interviews as a guy who's out there providing leadership. Champ is not 100%.
No, but he's running. I mean, he's just not going. He's not going in full pads.
Yeah.
But he's been out there sprinting and running. He's going through all the, you know, all the drills when they're doing walkthroughs and some of the coverage, as a matter of fact, as well.
He's
just not going through any contact.
I would think the expectation is that Champ is 100% full speed in August when they get out there for fall camp. Like, mm-hmm. I would think that's
that's sort of what they hope.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, based on.
Even for him to play.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the, you know, based on how involved he is right now. And, like, you know, like Bill said, he's getting into. He's not doing contact or anything, but he's doing some conditioning stuff, and he's there doing, you know, the mental reps and offering some coaching, because, like we said, we have so many young guys that are out there, you know, getting reps, and yeah, it seems like Champ's willing to be, you know, really active as a teacher while he's physically unable to go, but it seems like, yeah, he's not too far away.
What you and Ferg were talking about on the show, the Observer show. I've heard you mention a couple of injuries. Are all those guys, are they all minor? We don't have any major injuries going through summer, right? They're just nicked up?
No. All the guys, I mean, there have been quite a few guys that have been held out, like Xavier Chaplin and Connor Liu.
You know, they're
rehabbing from off-season surgery, and then the guys that have been banged up, nobody has had, and cross your fingers, but, I mean, there's nobody who has suffered a serious injury that has required surgery during spring.
Yeah, you know, and maybe we learn more in the April portal window, right? If they decide, oh, we actually need someone at this position or that position because the news is worse than we realized with, I don't know, one of the offensive linemen Champ Anthony. I know, it seems unlikely.
They all look like they're fine. I mean,
yeah.
They're in full gear and going through drills. They're just not hitting each other.
And it sounds cutthroat, but in this day and age of college football, like, if you don't think a guy is going to be with you in the spring or the fall, I mean, is he going to be on your, like, is he on your roster? Like, where is, I mean, guys, like, it's tough, but I mean, if you don't factor in, now if he got hurt on your, you know, if he got hurt playing for you, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't factor into the plan sort of at all, then there are just so many opportunities to address these positions with the portal and with the way Auburn is recruiting high schoolers. And so, yeah, I mean, like, guys that you would, I mean, I guess, you know what? I guess Alex would count, right? As sort of a guy who's injured.
Yeah, but he's back now.
But he's back too. Like, you know, McPherson was a guy who I think it would be fair to say, you know, coming into this season or coming into this spring, you still had no idea what his status was for the spring or the fall. And it sounds like he's back to solid food and kicking the football. Like
he said, he got dead. Did you hear how light he got? Dan, like one of your legs.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I mean, he said he got down to 110.
Well, he wasn't heavy to begin with.
110.
He dropped like
well, he was about he was about 145, 150 when he was kicking a couple of years ago.
I think if I pack for a week, the suitcase is 110.
Hey, yeah, he said he got down to 110 pounds twice, and he's up to about 160 now, and he's hoping to get to 170. He looked great. Looked great when we talked with him yesterday, Wednesday.
Hey, I'll let you guys go, but one thing real quick, Dan, is the other guy, great movie choice. I'm disappointed. You mentioned Mark Wahlberg. I'm disappointed in two things you didn't mention in the program was that Wahlberg, you didn't give him credit for the whole Peacock thing. I mean, hell, we had a whole Auburn basketball season on the Peacock.
It is funny.
And then two, his whole thing of making fun of people and learning how to dance sarcastically and the whole art installation piece is by far one of the funniest scenes.
There are some great bits in the other guys. It's weird because the question almost – like the question in the mailbag was a Michael Keaton thing, and I spun it into – we hadn't really done a tribute to Val Kilmer on the podcast. And Coach Dunn, by the way, I was just – and we appreciate the phone call. Great stuff, Brian. Coach, I was devastated by the passing of Val Kilmer. Like, one of the best as far as just, like, a varied – like, some actors get typecast and play the same character and everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there was a movie star from the last, like, 30, 40 years who was more of a chameleon in his lead roles than Val Kilmer, right? To go from, like, Top Secret and – like he's the villain in MacGruber, right? He would do these very dumb comedies.
He was Jim Morrison.
And then he would go to Jay. Then he's Jim Morrison, or he's Iceman, or he's Doc Holliday.
Yeah, the best.
I mean, there's Tombstone.
I can watch it every day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the 90s wasn't like the 90s weren't the golden age for Westerns in general, but Unforgiven and Tombstone are both perfect movies. Just perfect movies. Yep. And his performance in Tombstone is like, it's so, and I believe there is some historical accuracy as far as like Doc Holliday and folks who grew up around, you know, that time period, you know, they talked like that.
Yeah.
With that, you know, sort of like Thurston Howell meets
Southern
cowboy.
Aristocrat.
Yeah. Like that's, you know, that you know, way of speaking. But it's so hypnotizing and so unforgettable. Heat's an awesome movie. And you know, and Heat's more famous for De Niro and Pacino, but like Val Kilmer is a really important, you know, part of that movie and sort of driving the action. But yeah, it was cool to get a chance to tell folks because you've never seen any of these. Like they're all worthwhile. Like, you know, I mean, Val Kilmer made so many. Yeah, he made so many movies that are worth checking out in different genres. And it's cool to see. Cool to see all the different tributes, pouring in for. I think there was a cinema convention, like they do a. It's like CinemaCon where it's like a lot of the theater owners and people who make decisions for the big theater chains. You know, have a big. I think it's during the at ABC too. Like they've done it at the same time in Vegas.
Huh.
And they
that makes sense.
Yeah, and they in you know they had Tom Cruise there, and he was able to. Tom Cruise, like he had a moment of silence for Val Kilmer because he was like this guy made a, you know, he cared a lot about movies and had a huge impact on Tom Cruise's career, obviously with Top Gun. So yeah, it was cool to see people remembering Val Kilmer.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Just a quarter of the way in, we have plenty of audio we could run regarding A-Day, Auburn LSU baseball, which we haven't even mentioned.
Talk a little Auburn LSU baseball.
Yeah, we'll do that. The SEC baseball is ridiculous. Mm. And, Auburn's got another top 10 matchup. Both Auburn and LSU top 10 as they get their series started tonight at 6 o'clock. So stick with us. here on the Friday Drive. Welcome back into the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. Don, back in the day, I mean, how did you feel when it was like, all right, it's A-Day's tomorrow, it's about to be done?
Yeah, relieved.
Because you guys would get a break.
Yeah, well, yeah, but not really, because we'd go spring recruiting back in the old days.
That's right.
We would be out for the month of May usually. But, yeah, it was always good to get spring over. It got a little old sometimes, going against each other, pounding every day. A lot more hitting back then, a lot more scrimmaging, longer practice. I remember some Saturdays we'd go 130, 140 plays, if you remember those days.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was always fun to get it over with, and you just prayed no one got hurt. And, you know, it was a good time to bring in prospects and have them visit your campus and – yeah, but it was kind of a relief to get it over with, to be quite honest.
You know, what's interesting is doesn't look like tomorrow is a big day as far as recruiting for Auburn.
Yeah, that's changed so much. And like we've talked on this show many times, it's every day, year round. It seems like someone's visiting or coming to campus. I know they had a big weekend last weekend.
Right. They had this version of Big Cat, which is odd because Big Cat's always been July.
Right.
But you can't do it now because that's a dead period.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, they've changed that. So, yeah, it's constantly, you know, having to adjust and redo what you do and stay on top of all this stuff. I admire these guys because it's, you know, like we've talked many times, it's constantly changing, and you got to stay on top of it. And with the portal, now does the portal open again, right?
Portal opens next week.
Wow, for football.
Mm. Yep. Is it the 16th? I believe. It's 16th through the 25th, I believe.
Sounds right.
So that, because there's so many teams that are having, you know, that are wrapping up their spring this week. And then you're going to see a lot of players enter the portal. The basketball portal has just been exploding. The football portal, it'll be really interesting to see how many big names, if there are many big names that go in the portal. Now, the ones that could be, I mean, the crazy ones would be, you know, like the story that was out, was it yesterday or day before, about Nico Amaliava, who his agent – and Tennessee are restructuring his deal. And, I mean, he's the guy that out of high school had a reported $8 million deal.
Crazy.
$2 million a year.
Unbelievable.
Is he looking for more? Is Tennessee looking to try to pay him less?
Mm.
Because, I mean, that the first report that I saw, there was some talk in Tennessee that, hey, he may enter the transfer portal if he doesn't get more. I mean, and now that's what this NCAA versus the House settlement hopes it can at least prevent something like that, where you make a deal with a player for something like that, and you know after a year they either feel like, hey, you're getting too good a deal. I'm going to threaten going into the transfer portal unless I get a little more.
I wonder Crazy. If I mean without knowing. Without having any idea, like, what Nico's making or what the deal is.
Did he do anything to deserve more than $2 million?
Here's, of course,
I don't know what everybody else is making.
That's what
so
I'm going to say. I mean,
I can't base it.
We're just talking about Unforgiven. Deserves got nothing to do with it, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like if he goes into the portal, is there a dance partner willing to give him more than that because they need a quarterback right
Probably.
Now? Well, then there's your answer right there. Isn't
well, that's
it?
And that's why schools are saying we need to have multi-year deals.
Sure, but you're wondering like, well, why would he want to renegotiate? And it's like,
I mean, because that's what's bad is the player has in effect he has agreed to a multi-year deal, but it's not binding. It's only binding for right now.
He's got
until the player wants to change his mind.
He's got two. He's got
that's a great deal for the consumer. You're not going to find that many options when you go into. Buy anything. I'm going to buy a house or I'm going to buy a car. You know, I don't like it. No, that's all right. Just I'm not going to pay anymore.
Well, you know, there are baseball deals with ETOs, right? The, you know, the early termination, you know, in order to entice a player, you'll say, well, if you want to you want to test the market again in 2 years, you can try to test it. So it seems like these college football deals, Bill, there's two ETOs a year.
Yeah,
right? Like you can, that's right. You can try in January, you can try in December, January, as soon as the season's over, and then you can try again in April, and I mean, the first thing I wondered was whether or not this was in preparation of, like, House versus NCAA tearing up that deal that he had and wanting to, you know, wanting
didn't
to
restructure. Didn't sound like it when I read that.
But thought that he's missing practice is fascinating, because now holdouts have come to the world of
holdouts in college sports,
of college football.
Mm.
Don't you miss it, Don?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw a guy yesterday, press conference after a big scrimmage. I do not remember the coach or the team, and the reporter said, "Who were you impressed with?" And he said, "You know what? In the old days, I would tell you the portal. I'm not going to comment." And I couldn't believe it.
That's great. I mean, that is perfect.
Was it Georgia? Somebody, like, there are a couple of places that aren't televising their spring game.
Oh yeah,
Georgia making that sort of call, which I think is an interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, if you want to scout our guys, then you come buy a ticket and you watch the game in the stadium and take notes that way.
And so, I mean, and there's your answer for why other schools don't even want to have them.
Yeah,
I mean, why even have them?
Auburn's?
Hugh Freeze said again yesterday he's going to keep pushing for the OTAs. There's no need, as far as he's concerned, for a spring game.
Is Auburn Palooza on Saturday? Is that televised in any way? It will be on.
I don't guess it is.
No, I think that we're going to have it on.
I think it was supposedly going to be on at some later time, but we'll see if Auburn allows that. Maybe they'll lose the video.
Maybe it'll be like they'll superimpose SpongeBob on it. They'll do the Nickelodeon game.
Wings has the network broadcast, but I mean, listening to Andy and Brad talking about it, I think they're just going to be talking with they're going to be talking with a lot of guests.
Big Wings.
They may not be talking so much. Maybe the football staff has said, don't mention the guys that make big plays.
Big weekend for our guy Andy Burcham, right? I mean, back from the Final Four, and he's going to call. He's going to call all three of these baseball games and.
Mm-hmm.
Pop in for I think it's about an hour
yeah,
and a half.
Noon to one.
Game, yeah.
Noon to one is the practice tomorrow. So I guess that's the airtime is 12.
I think that's right.
They ought to come in and do the alumni flag game.
Yeah,
would be fun.
I'll check Riley's email and see if we've got word about
A-day practice. It's here on ESPN.
Oh, how about that? Okay.
I knew it was going to be aired, and Andy was talking about it. Oh man! That's cool that it'll be right here on ESPN 106.7.
Baseball tonight on Wings 94.3. 8A tomorrow, we've got a baseball weekend on Wings.
All right, we will get to our final.
I think that was to avoid a baseball conflict.
Yeah,
to the thinking. That
makes sense. Yeah. So we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Speaking of baseball, we'll look at the SEC matchups and Auburn, LSU, and more when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here of hour number one on this Friday. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and another huge weekend in SEC baseball just ranked matchups all over the place. Auburn's ranked as high as number 9, even though the SEC, I'm not sure exactly which poll they go by. They have it a 3-11 matchup with Auburn and LSU. But, I mean, you look and you've got a huge matchup in Athens. Number 1, Arkansas against top 10 Georgia. One poll, and I'm trying to remember if it was Baseball America. I can look one up here shortly. 6 of the top 7 teams are from the Southeastern Conference, and Auburn's 9. Yeah. So you have 7 of the top 9 teams in the nation are from the SEC. Auburn is ranked number 9, and they are the 7th ranked team. They're the number 7 team from the SEC. That is – That is just crazy. The other matchups tonight, you've got Missouri is at Florida. Let's see, these games, let me see, is there any, not a game? Yeah, okay, the SEC Network matchup tonight is Vandy in Florida. That's a top 20 matchup there between the Commodores and the Sooners. All the other ball games are on the SEC Network Plus. But, I mean, number two, Texas at Kentucky, South Carolina at Texas A&M. Texas A&M, remember the preseason number one team got off to a 1-8 start in the SEC and then swept last weekend. Look out for A&M. Mississippi State at number 12, Alabama. Another top 10 matchup is number 5, Tennessee at number 6, Ole Miss. So, I mean, just unbelievable games around the Southeastern Conference this weekend. And tonight, you've got, you know, Butch Thompson was asked a couple of ways about it because not only Samuel Dutton, Auburn's Friday night starter, of course, was at LSU until this year, and LSU's starting center fielder is Chris Stanfield, who was at Auburn the last couple of years. And it's funny, he didn't get asked about Sam until at the very end, but he was asked about, you know, Chris. And Butch had a great response. He said, look, in the current state of college athletics, it's very rare that you don't have a really good relationship with somebody on another team now. He said, you know, he's talking about former players and that are either playing or coaching all over the Southeastern Conference, and just about every week there's going to be somebody who probably was part of your team, you know, in the recent past.
Dutton to this point has totally delivered, right, for Auburn.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be tough facing his former team, you know, to be able to put all that aside and go out there and win the mental game and the physical game on the mound. So we'll see what it looks like tonight for Auburn, but yeah, it's a big one for the former Bayou Bengal now pitching
he
in Auburn
colors. He's
pitched like
tonight. A Friday night ace. I mean, he really has pitched well. Of course, last Friday got a complete game. It was a 7-inning complete game because Auburn run ruled Alabama. But you look and this one, you would think now with the wind. I don't know. I wonder with the way the wind has been howling today. You know that's. That's definitely going to be a factor here tonight. But you would think that runs could be at a premium because LSU did something unheard of last weekend. Unheard of. They did not allow an earned run all weekend. They swept a series without allowing an earned run. That's almost impossible to do against. I don't care who you're playing against. I mean, you're going to have
and they swing the bats
base runner get on, like, get to second, and be able to come around and score somehow. Usually,
no, it's remarkable, and they can also hit. Yes. Like it, I mean, it on top
yeah,
of
I
the
think
fact
they're
that,
top yeah. 10 nationally in hitting.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's why they're 10-2, but you got Arkansas and Texas 11-1 in conference play coming in. Tennessee 9-3, Georgia and Ole Miss 8-4, Alabama and Vandy are 7-5, and Auburn 6-6. But again, I mean, all those teams are ranked. It is amazing. And you were asking, yeah, I mean, and Texas A&M, you know, started off 1-8. They swept the series last week. They lost last night, but I mean, they're four and nine, and still expected to be very much a factor for the postseason. So, I mean, I don't think you can expect to be around 10, but 12 SEC wins I think will get you in the postseason. 14 I think for sure has got you hosting and got a chance maybe even in a super regional. So, I mean, should be a great show. Looking for record crowds as so many folks in town. So, should be a great crowd over at Sanford Stadium. Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park tonight. Looking forward to getting over there after the show. I can't wait.
Yeah, should be gorgeous this weekend too. I'm going to try to make it out tomorrow night for the
Going to be a little chilly tomorrow night.
Ready for it after a little Auburn Palooza early, and then some baseball on Saturday before we get into the right. We all have to retreat into the laboratories, right, Bill? We have to get down into the research factories and bear down for the Greystone.
All right, we are halfway done here on the Friday Drive. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, stick with us. We're right back with hour number two of the Friday Drive.
And 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. A nice looking day. A very breezy, it's actually a windy, gusty day. I mean, wind's been 20 plus miles an hour most of the day, but it's helped dry things out. We got a lot of rain really quick and a lot of wind last night. Hope everybody came through. Don was saying that on his way in early this morning, lights were out along where was it, along University or
didn't hit any lights till I got almost downtown. So I know a lot of trees down in my neighborhood. Right behind the street, a tree fell on two cars.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
We had a tree get taken down. Mm-hmm. Or a branch came down in the parking lot. I've shown Bill.
Yeah.
There was a storm that did that earlier in the year as well. This time it didn't land near anything. But
didn't get another tree in my pool this time. with all the stuff that was in it. But.
Yeah, it felt like there was a lot of wind before
there
was a ton of rain, right? Yes. There was even times when it was...
The wind came around 10:30 and the rain came a little later.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully everybody came through that all right. But the wind helping dry things out today. And as I said, this could really be a factor... And quite a few things. I mean, this evening, baseball and softball, wind could definitely be a factor. Mm-hmm. Fly balls, my goodness.
Yeah.
Could really be an adventure at Plainsman Park tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if ever you were going to try to, and hopefully, for the home fans, hopefully the ball's carrying a little bit depending on where it's going. But you're right, you could get if you get more of the same of what you got last night. Are we supposed to get a little bit more of that in the
There's like a 30% chance, but I don't think it's supposed to be anything nearly as possibly severe.
22 miles gust tonight.
It's been doing that all day.
Yeah, 13 to 22.
So, I mean, expect
should be nice. Should be crisp tonight, right?
I've got a jacket. Yeah, I've got a jacket with me for the ballpark tonight.
50 and clear, but you'll take it, I think, considering some of the alternatives, Bill.
Yeah, no question.
I just saw snowpacks in Fargo and Buffalo.
Don't say you saw that in the forecast. Right?
Yeah, so I'm okay. Yeah, so I'm okay with I'm okay with it getting a little bit chilly.
Second hour of the show is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. Love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive hotline. Give us your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. It is day two of the Masters, and Justin Rose jumped out with a 7-under 65 yesterday, and looks like he's going to have the lead going into the final two rounds into the weekend. As right now, a one-stroke lead over Bryson DeChambeau. Rose with a 1-under par 71 today to go to 8-under. DeChambeau is at 7-under after a 68 today. At 6-under, Rory McIlroy, Corey Conners, and Tyrrell Hatton And actually, Scottie Scheffler has gone to 6-under as well. So yeah, you mentioned it a while ago, Rory and Scotty just two shots off the pace, and DeChambeau just one. So there's some big names right there at the top of the leaderboard in Augusta.
Matsuyama, you know, Hideki, who was one of Coach Freeze had Spieth, who I don't see at the top of the leaderboard, but you know he's shouting out an Under Armour guy. As long as Auburn is still an Under Armour,
not much longer
program, but they are right now, Bill. Brandy's a company man, and also mentioned Matsuyama as a guy who's, you know, and he's won this thing before. It was a very big deal a couple years ago when Matsuyama was the first Japanese golfer to win the Masters.
Jordan Spieth is the last name on the list of projected cut.
All right, there
you
go.
He's a plus two.
All right, Jordan, you know, answer the bell. All right, get off the mat. You know, and remember that. So you know he's only about 10 strokes off the lead. So we'll see what we'll see what Spieth can do in the last couple of days of the tournament. But you're right with Scheffler steadily climbing those charts, Bill. You know, just like I feel like
looking for three out of four.
I feel like Casey Kasem, right? Yeah. Scheffler moving up the charts, and DeChambeau right there ahead of him. And like we said, Rory and Matsuyama also, you know, in the hunt. So you got some huge names that I think folks are going to be I think that should be something else to keep an eye on all weekend. I imagine we'll see some folks tomorrow in the I would imagine tomorrow at Jordan-Hare you could see some folks maybe checking the Masters scores or even tuning into the actual event itself from their phones. And then if it's big names on Sunday, that could be attracting a huge audience.
Oh yeah, so we'll keep you updated there. But that's the way it looks like with the leaderboard of the Masters. Start of a big weekend here in Auburn as the A-Day festivities get underway tomorrow morning early, and the gates to the stadium will open at 11 o'clock. At that time, there will be an alumni flag football game. That's one that can be a lot of fun, but it can be a lot of pain. I mean, yeah. It seems like
Coach,
you know,
some
of the former athletes sometimes forget how old they are.
Yeah, especially Sunday when they wake up.
Ooh. Yeah, so you know what?
They're reminded on Sunday.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. The alumni flag football game. Sponsored by the Orthopedic Clinic, our good friends.
That is right.
Orthopedic. That's hour number two of the drive.
Probably smart.
Sponsored by the Orthopedic Clinic, but yeah, some folks in the at the Orthopedic Clinic could maybe I'd be handing out business cards or something, because you're right. That's a dangerous one for the
is what, you know, more likely. It's usually like pulled muscles and
dangerous for the joints.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, that can be a lot of fun tomorrow.
We're going to see some scoreboard progress tomorrow as well.
Yeah, you definitely will see progress out there
as they continue.
That's the only
renovation.
That's the only place you're not going to be able to sit. They want people in the lower bowl, but not in the north end zone because of the construction that's going on there. But now the framework's all up. I mean, it's pretty impressive. It's going to be. It'll be ready by the start of the season. So that'll be good. But there's baseball tonight, baseball and softball. Softball, as a matter of fact, just getting underway. Softball and tennis are just getting underway right now, and baseball in about an hour. So there's quite a bit going on campus. Is there a slight chance of rain? There were a couple of drops on me on the way in. I didn't think there had been a chance of rain earlier today.
Raindrops keep falling on your head, Bill?
Yeah, they did.
Wow. Okay. We'll check in on.
I just heard a 30%, and it's like, gee, I didn't even know there was that much of a chance.
There's a 5% chance on the old Apple thing right now. You got cloudy conditions showing up around 8 p.m. and tonight it's going to feel like it's in the low to mid 50s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought I guess during the ball games and stuff, it won't. Won't be that bad, but
today's temperature range 51 to 68. It'll feel like 47 to 66. Yeah. So I ballparked it into the low to mid 50s.
I would say later on this evening, when the as we get close to the really overnight low, if the wind keeps blowing, it's going to feel pretty cool.
How big would a series win over LSU be for
be
this
huge.
Baseball team?
Yeah. I mean, of course, last time LSU came in, they were the number one team in the country. Auburn took two out of three from them. Run ruled them on Sunday. We'll see. I mean, Butch Thompson, and I think there's probably some Butch Thompson audio we can run. Butch feels like, hey, look, these guys have shown they can compete with anybody. They've won three of the four series they played. Everybody in the SEC is really good. Auburn's not
losing to Georgia's. No, there's no shame.
No.
Losing to Georgia
especially over there.
Yeah.
I mean, sure they wish they hadn't been swept, but they feel like they can play with anybody.
How about this? You're halfway done with conference
That's
play
right.
when this series is over. Auburn was, respectfully speaking, Auburn was dead and buried. They were cold as a dead man's skin, right? It was Weekend at Bernie's last year.
I think they were
2-13,
five,
right?
I think they were 5-10. No, I think.
Ooh, I don't think they were 5-10. Were they?
Maybe they were three. Yeah, maybe they were 3-12.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think it was. I mean, and you feel even in a scenario where it's like, okay, get to 10 or 11, and you've got a puncher's chance in the SEC tournament if you can win that many. When you're 10 games under 500. Midway through conference play, like, it doesn't feel like you're close to finding the answers or turning it around. This team, that's why we thought the first series, the Vanderbilt series, was so important. Like, you didn't want to stumble out of the gate and find yourself, you know, chasing Mount 500 all season. Mm-hmm. You know, you're there. You know, four series in. We'll see what happens this weekend against LSU. But the fact that, I mean, it's been a drastically different start to conference play. I imagine that some of the guys who played a lot last year, you know, the experience they got has benefited Auburn in this year's conference play. Guys like Cade and Ike, obviously, you know,
Cooper, sure. Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see. Butch said yesterday that they would know after practice the situation with Cade. His shoulder dislocated, popped back in, but it's still been bothering him. He's been working, trying to get back. So
Bill Cameron will have not seen
the lineup. Haven't seen the lineup yet for tonight.
You can testify. Shoulders.
Shoulders. Not fun.
Nope.
No. So let's see.
Need that for your power, too. So Cade, hopefully can get back. And that's, shoulder. Mid-season shoulder injuries are always so vexing for baseball players.
Do have the starting lineups for tonight. No Cade Ballou in the lineup. But Butch said he expected him on the 30-man roster. It'll be Eric Snow. Auburn's batting order will be Eric Snow at second, Chris Rembert DHing, Ike Irish in right, Cooper McMurray cleanup at first, Bub Terrell in left, Eric Guevara at third, Bristol Carter in center, Chase Frelick at catcher, and Derek Fabian at short with Samuel Dutton on the mound for the Tigers. That's coming up in an hour. Auburn, Georgia softball underway. Tigers get the Bulldogs out in the top of the first. They're batting in the bottom half right now, just underway. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline.
334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And you want to check out our buddy Bill on the phone?
Sure. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys, I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit. I got on the show a little late today. But I was listening to the commentary on various shows coming home today about the quarterback situation at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to be that. Let me tell you something. And, you know, the fan base of Tennessee and most of the top-tier SEC programs are pretty much all about as rabid as the other. But if that guy he ought to just leave Tennessee and go somewhere now, because if he goes back and has a relatively bad game against an arch rival, you'll be able to hear the booing at Neyland Stadium all the
time. Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. Now people know, yes.
He'll become the face of what frustrates folks about the era of college football, too. It won't even be necessarily about his play or how Tennessee is doing. But you're right, and you can, you know, I'm not sure how fair it is necessarily, but you're right. I think this feels like it's really thrown a serious wrench into his relationship with the Vols, and maybe they can maybe they can smooth it out, or maybe this is a situation where, you know, they'll stay together for the kids, but the trust is broken for a while.
And you bring up a good point, Dan, but I'll be honest with you, I've been around longer than you have, and that fan base up there or the one here, they're not going to put up with that. Mm-hmm. They're really not. This guy have a – you better not lose any close games to your arch rivals. They'll boo this guy out of town. And when you're making – you know, I've never been one to boo our college athletes, whether it be at Auburn or anybody else. But when you're bringing in, I don't know, $2 million, $3 million, you want four, you better play real well, because if you don't, mm-hmm. you're going to get booed out of town. And that's just my take on it. And I know times have changed, and like I said, Dan, you bring up a great point, but the fan bases and these big time SEC programs, or probably any program for that matter, are going to be slow to be sympathetic to a guy that walks out, or apparently threatening to walk out the day before the spring game. That's all I got, guys. I appreciate your time.
Great point, Bill. I mean, yes, because in the past it would be, and the thing, Don, that you'd always hear is, you know, don't boo these guys. They're just playing for the love of it. They're amateurs. They're not. Now they're not.
That's right.
I mean, they're getting paid, and especially when it's a situation as public as this, where you know, or you have numbers that people say, hey, here's what he's been getting, and he wants more.
Right. Yeah, he's out there now. He's fair game for everybody.
Yep. So we'll see. He had better, and that's what a couple of folks I was talking with were saying. I mean, it's like, you know, he was good last mm-hmm. year, but Tennessee wasn't playing for championships, and he wasn't making All-American honors.
Right.
And now, you know, wanting more, he'd better be doing that. That team had better take that next step.
Exactly. He has to produce now.
If it still matters, I wonder how that plays in the locker room, too, right? Like, I have no idea about these things anymore, but I remember when NIL first came around and you had people wondering, it's like, well, how's it going to play when an offensive lineman making $50,000 and a quarterback making $2 million don't see eye to eye about something? Like, is it going to be – or how's it going to play when there's one guy in the locker room making six figures and nobody else, and he's, you know, not shy about – showcasing the jewelry or the cars or the Jordans. And it's like, you know, I don't know how that's impacted, like, inside the locker room, you know, the relationships. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine, you know, for all the this is combat and we're in a foxhole together, I can't imagine anybody else on Tennessee looks at. I mean, maybe everybody's understood, like, get your money, like, and that's just how it works, and you got to do what you got to do to get your paycheck, and you don't judge anybody else for doing what they have to do to get theirs. But it feels like that's, you know, that would be a depth charge in that locker room as far as chemistry and harmony.
Yeah, it's just another thing as a coach you have to worry about. I don't know either. Like you say, do they all just accept the fact that somebody's going to make more? Yeah, that's a tough call right there, and I can see how it could destroy a program.
334-321-1390. Let's get to our first break, and then who we got hanging on?
We got Tex hanging on.
All right, yeah, Tex, hold on. You're up next when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and let's get right back to the Drive Hotline. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Pretty good. And which way is the wind blowing at the park?
I don't know. We haven't got out yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm calling because my agent, who's riding with me to the game, thinks my NIL deal with you guys needs to be higher because you leave me on hold a lot.
I agree.
I think she's right.
And Jimmy Ott's offering big money at ESPN 104.9 in Baton Rouge.
Ooh.
So, it's about the same pay rate you guys are giving me.
Yeah, I understand.
So, but if you want to up the rate, I'd appreciate it.
So, yeah, we'll leave a note with the front office. Yeah.
That's how crazy NIL's gotten.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just so ridiculous. So, Bill, just real quick before we I jump off and we head into the stadium, it is blowing. I'm looking at some trees.
There's no question. I'm just trying to figure out. Yeah. It appears it's going to be blowing out the lip, blowing out toward the monster.
Tex, we were just talking about the Cade injury in the previous segment, and that's a troubling development because not only are your shoulders tremendously important for basically everything you do as a baseball player, but also that's an injury that can, as Bill will tell you, right? He'll testify like that. That's an injury that can that can linger and it can and it can reappear.
Yes. Without question, it lingers and it comes back if you're not healthy before you go back. So, and it's a player that was swinging the bat extremely well,
right,
and plays a great center field. So, so with that, Bill, have you shared what Cindy and I saw today at the lake house?
No, I have not. Tex sent a cool video of a bald eagle.
Hey,
right there, just outside their place at the lake.
Yeah, so at Lake Martin. So it was about 20 yards from us, sitting in the tree. And the partner to that bald eagle was flying around, not quite sure what it was looking for, but it appeared that the one sitting in the tree was looking out. And I just figured it had to be a sign. Being a baseball guy and being a little superstitious, two eagles showed up on a Friday, baseball Friday. Mm-hmm. We're playing LSU in a big game. I kind of like our chances today.
I think Auburn has a chance to soar tonight with an eagle sighting like that, and and Bill was saying what Saturday you think the attendance record could be could be.
I would sure think so. I mean, with more folks in town, and I mean, there's you don't have as many competitors. I mean, basketball is done now, so I don't see why not.
I think it should be a full house. So looking forward to it, and we need to win. I just hope Dutton has what's between his ears under control as he steps on the mound tonight. So it's leaving. You're facing a school that you left in a really big series, and he's been pitching extremely well. So, and by the way, I hope their nine-hole hitter for LSU has a terrible series.
That would be Chris Stanfield.
Yeah, he's welcome to play great the rest of the year. Just be terrible against us. So, all right, guys, we're about to head in, Bill. And by the way, I'm looking at it. It does look like it's blowing out.
Hey, actually, yeah. I mean, just from where we're sitting and it's blowing toward us, I was figuring it's going to be, it's going to favor right-handed batters.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. All right, guys, take care.
Appreciate it. Yes, Chris Stanfield is hitting number 9, but he's batting .327. Man, these lineups. LSU's lineup goes .374, .387, .351. Their cleanup hitter, .297, but with power, .386, .339, .303, .320, and Chris Stanfield hitting ninth, .327. They have one batter in the lineup hitting under .300, and he's hitting .297.
Wow.
That's LSU's lineup. Wow. Auburn's lineup ain't bad, folks. Eric Snow's hitting .310, Chris Rembert .305, Ike Irish .356, Cooper McMurray .344, Bub Terrell .302, Eric Guevara, who's been bouncing back from injury, .289, Bristol Carter got off to a really, really slow start. He's up to .278. Chase Frelick, .345. Derek Fabian, .282. So Auburn has one batter hitting under .280, and he's been hot lately. So, I mean, both these teams, the numbers are ridiculous. Offensive and pitching, and you know what? And Auburn is top 10 nationally in defense. So, I mean, should be a fun series.
Do you think there's something, too? I was just talking about it earlier in the show, but the idea that the struggles from last year, Like some of the young guys getting some of the young
a lot
guys,
of the guys that were here a year ago, not just younger ones. I mean, Ike Irish has been around. Cooper McMurray's been around for a while. They'd gone to the postseason and expected to be going to the postseason every year. And then last year was just a huge shock to them. And they, you know, they want to prove that last year was the fluke.
But the youngsters that got at bats.
Yes.
Last year, because Auburn was looking for answers and Auburn was struggling and Auburn spent too much of conference play out of contention. Like, because of that, Auburn got some young guys some reps, and those are young guys that are helping out this year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I mean, Cade's the first name that comes to mind, but like Eric, right, also got, you know, some run last year, and it's paying dividends this season. So, like, I think that's a, we're going to talk with Fabian. On the show tomorrow or on the show on Monday. So yeah, I think there's something to that fueling in an era where, yeah, I mean, I think everybody, understandably, like the fans are all, well, could just go to the portal, like just go in the portal and fix it, like just go into the transfer portal and find a guy from outside the program and bring him in and fix that problem. Butch is doing a little bit of developing, right? He's working on some guys that are maybe a year away, and he's finding a spot for them on his team. And it's helping fuel a pretty remarkable turnaround from last season to this season with the Auburn baseball team.
Yo, you're right.
Cannot wait for tomorrow night. I think, tonight's gonna be cool too. But like you said, tomorrow night with the place maybe at capacity, the 8A game and Auburn LSU, like, you know, tomorrow night should be a real scene.
All right, we will get to our we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. You want to run some Butch?
See what we can do.
All right, we may do that, but we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. Anything on your mind, sports wise, as we head into the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. Let's see, any change on the Masters leaderboard?
Rose and Bryson are still they're in the clubhouse with their respective scores, but you've got Scotty's still out there.
Tyrrell Hatton is now at 7 under, and he's through 15. He's got a chance to perhaps move into a tie or take the lead.
Making his move, yeah. So
before the end of day two.
Saw a little bit of that on the monitors there just now. So
yeah, so some really good scores over in Augusta.
We got Bill on the phone. What's up, Bill?
All right, guys, I'm back again. I'm gonna call twice in a day, but I forgot to ask Coach Dunn a question.
Yes, sir.
Coach Dunn, have you been to any practices here?
I have not. I got a crazy schedule. I'm embarrassed to say I have not. I got to do better in the fall. But no, sir, I have not, because I'm working all night. And I usually am asleep when they're practicing with the mornings, but I will get over there for sure this fall and do a lot better.
Well, that's okay. I was just wondering, because there's been a lot of talk about the need to add some more players to our defensive line.
Yeah, I know Bill's talked about that, and these guys have been over there to watch them, and you can't have enough defensive linemen. I mean, you got to have at least six or more that you can rotate, and I look for them to really try to get some in the portal.
And I guess the question I was going to try to ask is, I know you got your front line guys, that can get in there and that you want to. But how many guys do we want to bring in that you just want to fill some gaps to maybe play 7-8 snaps? Not necessarily 4 or 5-star guys coming out of high school, but guys that can actually get in there and give your front line, I guess your first or second string guys, a rest. How many would you need to get?
Well, I would like to have, if everything was great, 3 at each position. Your number one guy, then your guy that's not far behind him, and then even a third guy that could spell, an emergency situations, not play a bunch, but, get 1 or 2 plays. And it all depends, too, on the game situation. Are you playing a team that's throwing it? Are they running it? You know, different scenarios like that. But I would think three at each spot would be enough.
Yeah. Like I said, I was just curious if you've been over and seen practice, but there's no problem you had. And I think we got some really good people.
Yeah. From what I've understand and what Bill and Dan have seen and said, they do have some good ones. We just need more, a couple more going into the fall.
And not necessarily guys that came out of high school 4- and 5-star, but just kind of plug-and-play guys.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I mean, you know, we were talking about it a little yesterday. In the situation that Auburn has on the defensive line, you've got some young guys. I mean, Dan's talked about, you know, Malik Blockton is assuming a leadership role. He's a sophomore. You know, you think about, man, you'd like to go out and bring in guys with multiple years of eligibility. You bring in somebody with multiple years of eligibility, what are your younger guys then thinking? Are your younger guys thinking, hey, I don't want to sit around and wait a year or two until these guys are gone? So you might think more. I mean, you really have to be thinking about how this player is going to fit with the team chemistry-wise, how he's going to fit with what you need, but also what is that going to do to the players that are competing for playing time at that spot? So I would think you're probably looking at 1 year guys, but as Dan pointed out, when you're bringing in 1 year players, there's that possibility of those players just going, hey, I've worked hard, this is my last paycheck, I don't have to work so hard from this point on. So I mean, it's a really tough situation, and you talk about, you better know who you're getting, the character of who you're getting as well.
Yeah, that would lead to their work ethic, so forth and so on.
Auburn signed a couple of guys last year that you know people nearly forgot about because we never saw them.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the Cage guy, whatever his name was, and a couple of others. But that's all I got, guys. I just wanted to check with Coach Dunn, see if he'd been there. But again, I enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Bill. 334-321-1390. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, those are the kind of things that you have to.
Yeah, there's many things.
I really think there's good chemistry on this team right now.
Right.
And the players really get along. They all right now have a pretty good idea of where they fit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have an opportunity in the next week to go out and try to bring some more in. You're probably going to lose a few because a few of these guys do know, if they're not in the rotation and they expected to get playing time, they're probably going to test the waters.
Curious to see who's on that list of guys that maybe don't like upperclassmen, and you'd expect it to be upperclassmen.
I would expect that guys that have been in the program for a couple of years that aren't on the perceived too deep.
Yeah, I mean, so and if that's you, you know, maybe you. You decide to go test the waters and see what else is out there in the portal. Maybe you give it another season before you make that decision. But I would think that, I mean, Auburn, Coach Freeze publicly lamented the era of, oh well, you're gonna have to re-recruit your players during the season because the portal opens up right when the season's over and they got to know where they fit next year. Coach Freeze went on to do a pretty good job re-recruiting most of the guys that you thought were a big part of next year's team after last season ended. I'd be surprised if there was an exodus because all these guys already had a chance to leave, right? And they all decided to stick around back in December, and not too much has changed as far as where you stood at the end of December with this roster versus where you stand right now. At the same time, you know, there could be a player or two who decides that, you know, the best thing for them, you know, maybe they were giving it the spring to see if they could make a push, and now they want to go play somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, and that's what we'll be following. I mean, now we haven't even talked any basketball today, and there is, I mean, the basketball transfer portal is just, I mean, it's hopping. I have seen probably. a half dozen names where Auburn is listed as one of the four or five likely landing spots for players. And we were talking with Justin about it yesterday. I mean, there are so many players, and more players seems like every day are entering the portal. So, I mean, with basketball, we talked about what an unbelievable job Bruce Pearl and his staff have done at evaluating. But, I mean, they've got to be not only evaluating these players and trying to figure, all right, how are they going to fit with what we're doing, but who else may enter the portal that they might want more? I mean, do you want to go ahead and jump fill your spot right now when there might be somebody tomorrow who you go, oh, crap, this guy, he would have been better, but then you don't want to wait either and lose out on someone that you know could help you. I mean, that's one of the crazy things about the portal is how quickly things can change and players can make decisions.
Right. Now, Auburn doesn't have a ton of time because I think a lot of the post players that Auburn would have considered in the portal have already found homes elsewhere. And so with the knowledge that, look, Janai and Dylan and Chaney are all presumably moving on from their college basketball careers, and Auburn's going to have to find a lot of minutes in the post. Maybe Keyshawn can play some of them, but you're talking about probably 80 minutes a game between the four and the five, and I don't know how many of them are on the roster right now.
Yeah, I don't either. The only guys that are on the roster right now are what, Keyshawn and A.D. Scott?
Yeah, I mean, Keyshawn could maybe be, I mean, let's be,
he,
I'll tell you what.
Say he can get 25?
Okay, let's be optimistic. And let's say, let's give him 20 of the, let's give him 20 of the 80 minutes in the post, thinking that maybe he can play the two and the three as well, or whatever else they want to do with it. Because I know he's not just a post. He's played a little bit. He calls himself the big guard.
Right.
He's still got a lot of minutes. There's a lot of minutes in the post, Bill. I mean, even if you give him 25.
20, I think 20 is a lot, though, to think about down low.
All right. Yeah. I mean, okay, give him 15. Like, that's a lot of minutes.
You need 65 more minutes from somewhere. How many is A.D. Scott going to get, realistically? I mean, you think he's going to be able to? I heard the talk that I was hearing was, he can fill that Dylan kind of role. How many minutes did Dylan play?
That's a lot of minutes.
But I don't think he'd play as many as Dylan. Dylan didn't play 20.
I think Chris would be a more hopeful, like, as far as, you're filling a role with A.D. Scott. I would think maybe Chris Moore would be the target. Yeah,
if you get double-digit minutes, that's probably a pleasant surprise. I mean, of course, we haven't seen him, so maybe so. But you're still looking for 50 plus minutes.
That's somewhere down
in the front court.
It's not like A.D. Scott was redshirting this season. Like, he'd already redshirted, right? So, I mean,
they said he redshirted this season.
Oh, this was
season.
The season? Okay. Yes. But you still didn't get the sense that they were rearing to put him in. So he was on the team, but this wasn't his first year on the team.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
so,
it wasn't.
So he's, I mean, to go from. To
he
go
played
from,
sparingly yeah. and then didn't play.
To go from year. Out of the rotation to into the rotation is a big jump, especially if you're talking about a big role in the rotation.
Oh, yeah.
Would love to see it, but I would understand Auburn shopping outside the program for these answers, too.
I think there were a few folks that expected Auburn to have another addition to the roster by now. We'll see if there is one by the time we get back on Monday. All right. Speaking of getting back, we'll get to our final break and be back for our final segment. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Big eating in Auburn and Opelika means Big Mike Steakhouse.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Friday. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. Don, what's your plan for the weekend?
Nothing much. Just watch my wife pick up all that stuff again out of the yard.
Oh,
she
man.
Was so upset. She had everything perfect.
I did too.
Straw.
I had the yard. Well, I needed to do a little pruning, but I trimmed everything and edged, and I even had when Kathy after the show yesterday, I said let's walk around. Just walked around and looked. Because I was really
so
pleased with the way it
and
looked
proud.
And today it's a mess.
And then she got up and said, oh, man.
Yeah, so that,
so, no big plans, just relax and probably watch a little of the Masters and just kick back.
Man, I mean, there's some low scores as we approach the midpoint. with seven golfers at six under or better.
Wow!
As we're coming down the stretch here at the end of day two, Dan's been talking about it. You're going to be there for the A-Day festivities and heading to baseball tomorrow, right?
Yeah, a bit busy day tomorrow. There're not a lot of weekends like that in Auburn, and hopefully weather cooperates, and it should be a really good time.
I mentioned that baseball and softball are underway. Auburn jumped on Georgia, two runs in the bottom of the first, but Georgia came back with three in the top of the second. Auburn batting in the bottom of the second, and has scored a run to tie it up. So
good.
This is a high scoring SEC softball game. It is 3-3, run in and a runner on with two down in the bottom of the second inning. And we're just minutes away from Auburn LSU baseball over at Plainsman Park. Also, got Auburn tennis that is on tap as well. Auburn and Ole Miss, that is going on right now at Yarborough. So, I mean.
Busy.
Yeah. And as we were talking with Jordan Szabo, I mean, if you have the opportunity to get out and watch that, because it's Ole Miss today and then LSU on Sunday. And Auburn, if they win both those matches, then they have a double bye in the SEC tournament, which is next week.
Wow!
Right here in Auburn.
Yeah, huge and tremendous first season for Coach Szabo. And yeah, if you missed his interview with us, check out the podcast earlier in the week. He came and popped in on Wednesday to hang out with us and talk a little bit about the upcoming events for Auburn women's tennis. What a season they've had.
And then it's still A Day. Yeah. Look, it's Fan Day. It's all kinds of things. We saw practice yesterday, Dan. I'd be surprised if we saw as much contact as we did yesterday. It was a pretty solid day of practice. But I mean, just some thoughts on what folks can look forward to. Who are some of the guys that you would tell people to keep their eye out for tomorrow during A-Day?
I mean, if you're looking for new guys, right, I think everybody's going to land on Singleton and, yes. and Horatio
Number
Fields.
One. He wears number one.
I mean, couple of the speedy new receivers are tremendous. I think some of those safeties we were name-checking earlier in the show, like you just don't believe they're true freshmen, right? You look at Winters or you look at Newboy. Like those are really, really impressive-looking first-year kind of guys. Look, X Chaplin is gigantic, right? Like he's not. I mean, you're not going to see too much of him tomorrow on the field.
He'll be on the sideline, but I mean, he is a giant of a young man. But yeah, number one is somebody to keep an eye on. That's Eric Singleton. Number five is Horatio Fields, he is a big receiver transfer from Wake Forest. It'd be interesting to see how much Jackson Arnold we do get to see after the. It looked like a slight pull there at the end of practice yesterday. Going to see a lot of Deuce Knight. You will be impressed with the spin that Deuce Knight has. I mean, he throws a beautiful tight spiral. So I mean, you'll want to keep an eye. I mean, everybody will be watching him. But in the secondary, Blake Woodby, Donovan Starr. That's 12 and 22. You mentioned Fagans and Winters at safety. Elijah Melendez is a good-looking freshman linebacker. Bryce Diaz is as well, but Melendez is the guy pushing for a lot of playing time. He was out there with the ones a good bit yesterday. I don't think we mentioned that really when we were talking about that on yesterday. So a lot of the new guys, you'll be glad you have a program because there are a lot of new numbers and names to keep up with tomorrow. So hope everybody gets out there and hope the weather is as beautiful as it's expected to be and everybody has a great time this weekend.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Everybody be safe and have a great time this weekend.
And that's about going to wrap things up for us.
Coach, what's on the you on the smoker this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Be there tonight.
Oh, man, can't wait. The turkey is tremendous. Yep. I always try to mention that whenever we get a chance to talk with you about it.
Talk
a little turkey.
No question. Monday, we'll talk with Brian Matthews. Not talking turkey. talking Brian on Monday.
I would expect maybe some basketball recruiting news, right?
I would not be surprised. And, of course, get Brian's thoughts on the wrap-up of spring and baseball, because he's over covering baseball as well. So that's going to do it for the Friday edition of The Drive. I'm heading to the ballpark. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.